From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report. For Friday, March the 25th, 2016, I'm Philip Grant. Barry Teasdale is reporting in the Columbia paper that Columbia County officials will meet next week to discuss the options for stopping pollution from the waste treatment plant that serves 30 or more businesses in the Gerald R. Simmons Commerce Park in Ghent. The action comes in the wake of an $8,000 fine levied against the county by the State Department of Environmental Conservation last month. The county has until August the 1st to come up with a plan to correct the release of treated solid waste that exceeds permitted levels. The plan must include an estimate of the cost to replace the plant according to a consent order from the DEC signed by the County Board of Supervisors Chairman Matt Morrell on February 17th. The county owns the park and operates the sewage treatment plant for businesses located near the county airport along State Route 66 and 9H. The plant processes an average of 20,000 gallons of wastewater a day, operating well below its daily limit of 50,000 gallons, according to the county attorney, Robert Fitzsimmons. Fitzsimmons denied untreated waste has been released. According to a report in the Times Union, the latest fine levied against the treatment plant was the fourth one issued by the DEC. The plant was built in 1992, and the DEC says compliance violations go back to the year 2000. The county has until December 2019 to have a new system that meets the standards in place. The newly established County Sewer Committee will meet on Wednesday, March 30th at 401 State Street in Hudson. You can read that full story in the Columbia paper. The Daily Freeman is reporting that Will Yandick has been endorsed by the Greene County Democratic Committee in his bid for the 19th Congressional District seat. Yandick is the deputy supervisor in the town of Livingston. He has also been endorsed by the Columbia County Democratic Committee. Yandick and former gubernatorial candidate Zephyr Teachout are expected to face off in a Democratic primary on June 28th. Greene County Democratic Committee Chairwoman Doreen Davis said committee members cited Yandick's work in agriculture, his focus on the aging, and his commitment to making progress in such areas as broadband internet service as the basis for their endorsement. Yandick said in a prepared statement that he was honored to receive the committee's backing. He said, and I quote, "I'm running for this seat because this is my home, and we need a member of Congress who understands the issues that affects upstate New York," end quote. A fourth-generation family farmer and journalist, Yandick also teaches biology at Columbia Greene Community College and writes about senior and retirement issues for the AARP Bulletin. The committee also endorsed Palatine Town Supervisor Sarah Nicoli for the 46th State Senate District race. Nicoli will face first-term incumbent George Amador in the November general election. You can read that full story in the Daily Freeman. Casey Seeler is reporting at Capital Confidential that a lawsuit contesting U.S. Senator Ted Cruz's natural-born status and his eligibility for the presidency has been dismissed. The State Appellate Division's Third Department took less than 24 hours to uphold a lower court decision on Thursday, March the 24th. The suit was brought last month against Cruz and the State Board of Elections by two downstate men who questioned the Texas Republican's placement on the state Republican presidential primary ballot. Cruz was born in Canada, but his mother was a U.S. citizen. The suit does not question Cruz's citizenship, just his natural-born status. The dismissal was based entirely on the petitioner's failure to file the challenge on time. While specific challenges were due by February the 4th, in this case, they were submitted on February 17th. You can read that full story at Capital Confidential, a Times Union blog. Now here's Andrea Sears reporting from the New York News Connection for the Public News Service on groups calling for solitary confinement to end.
From Grand Central Station in New York City to the public library in Ithaca, advocates for people in prison gathered to call for action on Wednesday to end solitary confinement in the state. Jared Chausso with the New York Campaign for Alternatives to Isolated Confinement says last year, Governor Cuomo's administration settled a lawsuit by agreeing to virtually eliminate solitary confinement for minors and pregnant women in New York.
But it does leave the vast majority of the 5,000 New Yorkers in prisons and jails right now who are in solitary confinement in the exact same conditions or similar conditions as before.
He notes that some people remain in solitary for months, years, and even decades. A bill called the Humane Alternatives to Long-Term Solitary Confinement Act is pending in both houses of the New York State Legislature. Chasso believes the bill could finally pass this year, but he says it isn't necessary to wait for legislators to act.
Governor Cuomo has the power right now to end the torture of solitary confinement and replace it with humane and effective alternatives.
Extended isolation has been shown to have serious and lasting effects on the mental and physical health of people in prison. Spending 23 hours a day in a tiny, windowless cell can exacerbate pre-existing mental illness, which Chasso says is already common in the prison population. But he points out that extreme isolation can also cause mental illness.
Putting a human being in a cage alone for days, weeks, months, and even years and decades can literally make people lose their minds.
The United Nations has officially classified solitary confinement lasting longer than 15 days as torture. For New York News Connection, I'm Andrea Sears.
For our final story, Governor Andrew Cuomo announced on March the 23rd 19 recommendations to state and national registers for historic places, including locations in Columbia, Dutchess, Rensselaer, and Ulster counties. You can find Cuomo's full press release on the WGXC News website, newsroom.wgxc.org. And now for the weather. The National Weather Service in Albany is predicting rain before 9 a.m., then showers likely, mainly between 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. The temperature high will be near 62 degrees. The chance of precipitation for today is 80%. For Friday night, partly cloudy with a low around 33. The forecast for the weekend, well, on Saturday, it will be sunny with a high near 54 degrees. Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low around 36. And on Easter Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 58 degrees. Sunday night, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy, with a low around 42. Sunrise today was at 6:47 a.m., and the sun will set at 7:14 p.m., providing us with 12 hours and 26 minutes of daylight. That's 3 minutes more than yesterday. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for today, Friday, the 25th day of March 2016. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.